Today on Real Radio.
For those of you who want to break this word down and know it forevermore, the word alleluia, by the way, is an international or universal word, just like amen. Did you hear how we read amen a moment ago? Amen is an international word. Did you know that? Every culture, every language knows the word amen. And the word amen means let it be true or this is so. There's another international word known by all cultures.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. We're going to be looking at the first verse of chapter 19. It may be just one verse, but we're about to get a little education on what kind of verse it is. You see, Revelation 19 and verse 1 is what is known as a doxology. Everything stops down for the worshiper or worshipers of Almighty God to declare that there is none higher. Sometimes you'll hear biblical authors deliver doxologies. In this case, it's a multitude in heaven. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Prelude to the Hallelujah Chorus.
I am so excited to get to this portion. Did you notice we only spent a brief time in Revelation 18? I wanted to get out of that stuff. Why? Well, first of all, if you're a Christian this morning, you will not be involved in the judgments of God that He's going to bring upon the earth in the Great Tribulation period. The second thing is, since we've given our hearts to Christ, the Bible tells us our sins have been forgiven, and we have a new home. The Bible says that our home now, and that in fact, our citizenship is in heaven. We've got a passport that we await to use. And that passport is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the book of Revelation, chapter 19, brings us to my favorite chapter of the Bible. And you might say, well, Jack, I thought you said that back in chapter 2 and 3. That's true, too. But I got to tell you, Revelation chapter 19 is so exciting. And as we go through these weeks of studying this chapter, you're going to see the reason why. This is a chapter pregnant with hope. It's pregnant with expectation for the believer. This is a great chapter for all of us who have trusted Christ and are trusting Christ regarding heaven. If you would jot down the title this morning, it is the prelude to the Hallelujah Chorus. It is the great Hallelujah Chorus that we're going to be studying about. This is the chapter, by the way, that I think it's Handel. Isn't it Handel that wrote the Hallelujah Chorus? Which if I would have been thinking, I would have pulled it off of my iTunes from my computer, and we could have blasted it for a moment. You know which song I'm talking about? The Lord Omnipotent Reigneth, Hallelujah. That's a great song. You would recognize it immediately. It's fantastic. The Hallelujah Chorus. And we're going to learn a lot about what Hallelujah means this morning. We're going to use this time to be introduced to this great chapter, but how it relates to our lives. Listen carefully as we sum up this chapter of the Bible. The Great Tribulation period is now coming to a close by the time we come to Revelation 19. It's not over, but it's about to close in a moment. Thus we have Revelation chapter 19. Mankind's last attempt to govern himself under the demonic powers of Satan are nearly at its end. The self-proclaimed leader, the Antichrist, is near his end, and Satan knows that his end is coming, for the Bible told us earlier that he knows that he has but a short time. But he now turns all of his venom towards Christ at the closing moments of that 7-year tribulation period. And in this chapter brings us to the awesome and glorious staging, if you would. Revelation 19 is heaven being staged for the great second coming. If you're a note taker, you can write down here in this chapter, it's chapter 19 that is the gateway to the second coming of Christ. Not the rapture, the second coming. Big difference. So today we're going to be taking time to prepare ourselves for what is about to happen in Revelation chapter 19. The Hallelujah Chorus for all time and eternity will be sung by the believers. By way of context, let's read the first six verses. But this morning you can breathe a sigh of relief. We're only going to look at the first verse today. It's our introduction to this great chapter. Revelation 19, beginning at verse 1. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation, glory, and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders, boy, we haven't heard from them in a long time. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Mark it, four times the word Alleluia. You say, well, Jack, we say hallelujah. Yeah, I know, but that's not how it's said in the original language. It's not hallelujah, it's alleluia. So, but don't worry, we in the West, we put an H on it. Hallelujah, four times. No other time in the Bible is it mentioned in the New Testament, but here, Revelation 19. The things that prepare us for heaven, mark it down. The four hallelujahs given in Scripture in the New Testament are found right here in the opening six verses. This is a chapter of absolute celebration. It is a chapter of great joy. I am so glad that we've now come to this chapter. For those of you who want to break this word down and know it forevermore, the word hallelujah, by the way, is an international or universal word. Just like amen. Did you hear how we read amen a moment ago? Amen is an international word. Did you know that? Every culture, every language knows the word amen. And the word amen means let it be true or this is so. There's another international word known by all cultures. And that is alleluia or hallelujah. And in every culture of the world, hallelujah, the hallel or allel is the word to praise. To praise, or to give praise, or praise to be. It is a declaration of praise. People who don't even know God will say, hallelujah. You've all heard that. They don't even know they're speaking Hebrew. Hallelujah. And then we know that the word, again here, hallelujah, it's the yah, not jah. It's important that you understand that yah, the Bible tells us, is God's name, Yah, Yahweh, the Lord. Hallelujah is praise be to the Lord, or praise the Lord. And so now we come to chapter 19, and there's this huge shout emanating out of heaven. Hallelujah, praise be to the Lord. Thank God, this is like plunging into a pool, isn't it? After all the things we've gone through in these tremendous chapters of judgment. Now we come to this great word. And so I'm going to ask you to mark this down. Our only point this morning is this, but we'll look at four aspects to it. Point number one is this: worship. Alleluia chorus. Who are these people? What are they involved in? They worship the Lord for his faithfulness. Can you jot that down? God is faithful. And you might say, well, Jack, I already know that. Listen, I got news for you. You may know that, and I may know that in my head. But there is nothing like the faithfulness of God when you're going through something and you need that faithfulness. We will often say, God is faithful. You know, look, we're all guilty as Christians. We'll say things like, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, how are you? I'm fine, brother. Hallelujah. Okay, that's great if you know what you're talking about. But if it becomes like slang, if it becomes just Christianese, do you know what Christianese is? Hey, brother, God bless. How you doing? Praise the Lord. Hey, what's up? You know, when you say praise the Lord, you ought to keep it in the context of reverence. When you say amen. It ought to be in the context of, you know, not that, you know, they bring you that scrambled eggs with the pile of potatoes. And I mean, you can give God thanks, but people see the tray coming and you're hungry and you go, amen, hallelujah. Okay, that's nice. God, I'm sure, is glad that you are appreciative, but it's a very holy thing. I have often gotten in trouble. I'm very conscious of it, because you're going to write me a note and you say, you always say the word awesome. I love that word, because you know what? It just screams God to me. It just really does. I had somebody write me one time and they said, I heard you speak at this conference back on the East Coast, and you must have used the word awesome 4 times. Ouch. I wrote back, I meant the word awesome 4 times. I meant it. Well, you're always saying awesome. You know what? It's because God is awesome. And I can't wait to get to heaven. I can't wait to see him. This chapter swings wide the door that you and I are going to go to heaven. And this is the stuff that we can anticipate. And we'll see how much so as this chapter takes you and I. Listen, it takes you and I. Look, us sitting here right now. This chapter takes you to your future. You want to know what you're going to be doing? Where am I in Revelation 14? Where am I in Revelation 16? Where am I in Revelation 18? Look, where are you in Revelation 19? The Bible will make it very clear. You are where this is happening. Awesome. We're going there, man. This is what we're going to see. This is what we're going to experience. And so the Hallelujah Chorus, we are church, the Hallelujah Chorus. See, Pastor, I don't sing very good. You will when you're in heaven. You're going to sing like a canary. You're going to sound great. I won't have this froggy voice. I'll have a voice of an angel. And it's going to be great. And you and I will be together. Listen, the Hallelujah Chorus, it involves us, and it will be thus because God is faithful. Look with me here. Circle it if you would. Highlight it. Mark up your Bible. After these things, it is the Greek words meta tauta. Now, you don't need to know so much about the Greek word and how to spell it, but you want to know what the meaning is. It is a most significant key to understanding you, your position in heaven, and what's about to take place. Meta tauta, you circle it because it is a key theological term referenced and mentioned several times in the book of Revelation. Whenever you see after these things, meta tauta, you can pull out your calendar or pull out a stopwatch, so to speak, and mark, this is significant. This means something. This is very serious. Meta tauta, or after these things, now links us to the timetable of sequence of events that happen here in Revelation 19. It's extremely important regarding the church. Everyone, put your memory caps on right now. You have heard this declaration before. And if you're thinking, or if you're familiar with the book of Revelation, it is very powerful. Before I tell you the answer, grab your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 1. Go to Revelation 1 verse 17, and we're going to read 17 to 19. Very, very important. Because if you remember back a year or two ago, when we were in that chapter of Revelation 1, 17 to 19, the Bible gives us the specific outline of the book of Revelation. You don't have to worry about it. I told you before, this book is extremely simple if you know your Old Testament. If you don't know the Old Testament, you'll never understand the book of Revelation. But it's so kind here, the Lord is to give us an outline. Revelation 1, 17, listen to this. And when I, John, saw the Lord Jesus Christ, I fell at his feet as a dead man, but he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen, says the scripture. And I have the keys of hell and death. Verse 19, write the things which you have seen. That's the verses of Revelation 1, all the way up to verse 16. The things that you've seen, Revelation 1:1 to Revelation 1:16. That's chapter 1. Now look, and the things which are, that's chapters 2 and 3. The things that are is the time frame that John lived in, the church time, that the beginning of the church age, and that is Revelation chapters 2 and 3. So you've got Revelation chapter 1, the things that you saw. Revelation 2 and 3, the things that are. Now watch this. The divine outline is given here. And the things which will take place after this. That's chapters 4 all the way out to chapter 22. The divine outline of the book of Revelation, if you remember, is Revelation 1, 17 to 19. Now here's the answer. The word metatauta, or after these things, appeared early on in our study. Why is it so important? Church, turn ahead to Revelation 4, 1. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, watch this. Here's those words, metatauta, verse 1. Revelation 4, 1, after these things, metatauta, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Note this, John gets chapter 1, he gets chapter 2, chapter 3, and now the next event is after those things of chapters 1, 2, and 3, John says, I see a door open in heaven, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet. Notice that. What and how will the church be called up into heaven? Via a trumpet. Who does John represent? The church, the believers. Keep that in mind. It's going to be more significant as we advance this morning. I heard, as it were, like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. Church, where is here in Revelation 4? Heaven. And I will show you things which must take place after this. The Greek construction's exciting. John, come up here. And after you've come up here, now I will tell you what's going to take place. That is most significant. That's why we believe in what is called a pre-tribulation rapture view. It's exclusively Gentile in nature. It has nothing to do with the nation of Israel. It is something that is between Jesus Christ and the bride of Christ, the church. And in fact, so theologically true is this rapture doctrine, the imminent return of Christ, we would call it, without warning, that it has to happen before God Almighty can refocus on what is called the seven-year tribulation period. God must do this to focus once again on Israel, his chosen people. The church is removed, the tribulation period begins, and God delivers Israel from the wrath and from the plague of the Antichrist. That is very important. So church, listen. This is a most exciting and extremely important doctrine of the Bible. And I want you to understand that because of God's faithfulness. Revelation chapters 2 and 3 comprise of the seven letters to the seven churches. Jesus writes to the churches. Revelation 4, 1 is the apostles, or the apostle John's catching up, if you would, regarding this incredible entrance into heaven. Since Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, the church, listen, is never again seen. Now look, I have to apologize. That's my writing. Isn't this a high-tech church? That's pathetic. I wrote that down as a note yesterday, and then I looked at it this morning and I thought, hey. So I apologize for any misspelt words there. You were not supposed to see this. Everyone follow with me if you would. And mark it down if you want to. We are now here. Can you see that? We are right here. Revelation 4:1 and what we're talking about right here. The announcement is made, John, come up here. The church is never again seen or mentioned on earth. During the entire tribulation period, the church is not seen on the earth. If you look over here, you see John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. Church in heaven above. That is important because, my friend, without a pre-tribulation rapture understanding of the Bible, you have to take this portion of John 14, 1 through 3, and mark it out of your Bible. Why? It is John 14 that fulfills Revelation 4:1. When Jesus said, do not let your... Am I yelling? Sorry, I'm so excited about this stuff. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For, or because, in my Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places for you to live in. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go now to prepare a place for you. Church, where did he go? That's pathetic. I'm going to ask you again, act like you know. Where did he go? Very good. I go now to prepare a place for you that where I am, where is he? There you may be also. He said, I will come and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Revelation 4:1, the announcement is given to John. After these things, he hears this voice, and the voice says, come up here. And it's the voice of a trumpet. Fulfilling John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3, the church in heaven. Beneath now, see this, commences Revelation 5. The seven-year tribulation period, or the time of judgment. This is also referred to in the Old Testament as the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble is another name for whose trouble? Israel's trouble. It is 7 years long. It covers a time period from Revelation 5 out to Revelation 18. So 4:1 up to the top, John 14, 1, 2, and 3. Back down over here, Revelation 19, 1. Church mentioned. But between Revelation 5 and Revelation 18, no church is mentioned. Who is mentioned? The tribulation saints. They are not members of the church. They are not Old Testament believers. They are referred to as tribulation saints. They must die for their faith in Jesus Christ. The church, on the other hand, is called upon to what for Jesus Christ? Live for Jesus Christ. You and I are to be witnesses by the life we live. The tribulation believers will refuse the mark of the beast, number 666. They will be persecuted to death. And all those, you know, that the Bible says, now you're an expert on this. If they do not receive the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, then they will be killed by the forces of the Antichrist. That's called the Great Tribulation Period. These are the believers that comprise of Gentiles and Jewish believers, but these will have come to the Lord, the tribulation saints, during the tribulation period by virtue of the fact of the 144,000 evangelists preaching, by the converted Jews of that time preaching, and by those proclaiming the gospel. And then finally, at the end of the Great Tribulation Period, just before the second coming of Christ, which we're going to study in Revelation 19, an angel flies through the midst of the atmosphere proclaiming the everlasting gospel. Do you guys remember that? It wasn't very long ago. Proclaiming the everlasting gospel. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, regarding that portion of scripture in Revelation, he says, I tell you this, this gospel shall be preached in all of the world, and then the end will come.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study called Prelude to the Hallelujah Chorus, it's an in-depth look at just one verse, Revelation 19:1. We'll continue on our next edition of Real Radio with more in this study series. Remember, you can hear this broadcast once again, or any recent edition of Real Radio, just visit us at realradioactive.org. You can listen to it again or download it to hear it at some other time that's more convenient for you. In fact, you can become a podcast subscriber, and there's no charge for any of this. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. And if you've been enjoying Real Radio, remember that you can make a tax-deductible contribution to our radio fund. You may do so online, call us, or send in your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your contributions. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.